That's a fortnight.
Did you meet these folks?
It's Andy.
Yes. Andy and Sarah.
Sarah. Nice to meet you.
Good to see you. Yeah, once a fortnight. Yeah, we've got to recycle our tins.
Ask Carolyn real quick.
Tins and glass in one container. Next one is paper and cardboard. Another one. And you get a bag, see-through plastic bag for your Coke bottles. You know, your plastic.
So you got three containers.
Oh, they got us doing all the work. They put it out all in these little piles, and yeah. We've got these wheelie bins now. Like you, so I lift the lids up a little bit. They won't take it. They won't take the wheelie bins. They leave it.
Because you're not
good enough. Yeah. We're paying $230 a month.
$230 a month?
Yeah, for them to come around and every fortnight and empty. And they leave a lot of it just blowing around the street. Blowing around the street.
13th.
More
and then they go sell.
Possibly.
And they charge you.
Yeah, you go sell.
Wow, what a system.
What can you do? What can you do?
You have to participate?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Because you have an inspector come around every so often and open up your wheelie bin, take all your rubbish out, look through it. And if there's recyclable material in there, they knock on the door and say, you've got to start recycling, and why is it worth taking it to you? But you still got to pay your tax. Oh, yeah. You've got what's over there, I'm afraid.
Are we on?
Yep.
We're talking about this whole idea of a generational curse. I'll try not to go on a rant this morning. Revelation chapter 12. I knew I could count on you, Ronnie.
Where are we going?
Revelation chapter 12.
Oh, a good suit. You hadn't been bitten.
Verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, it's hard for us to believe, but it doesn't say he was cast out onto the earth. He was cast out into the earth. And he was cast out into us as the earthen vessels. You've heard me talk about it many times, but the great deception of the church and of really the world is the idea of free will. And free will is worshipped probably more than God is. But free will is an illusion. There are only two wills in the universe, but there's really only one. The will of God is the only will in the universe, but he has appointed Satan, the devil, the dragon, HaSatan is his name in Hebrew, as the opposer. And his job is to provide a test to see if there's anything that can take you off the mercy seat. Now, most people don't even have any idea of what this is because they're still waiting for something to happen. They're waiting for Christ to come back again, and they're waiting for the temple to be set up in Jerusalem, and they're waiting for the Antichrist. And the rarest thing in the universe is for people to know and understand and see and believe that it's finished. All the world is wandering after the beast. It's not going to all the world wander after the beast. All the world is wandering. And the only beast that every person on the face of the earth wanders after, gives breath to, is themselves. So the will of God is always emptying, always giving, emptying of self. The will of Satan is always self-realization, self for self. What am I going to do? What is my calling? What is my purpose? And as long as that continues to happen, you can have accepted Jesus 50,000 times. But as long as you're concerned with self, then you're doing the will of Satan. Can you believe that? Let's look at Revelation 13 a minute. We've gone through all this before, but I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now what this is John saw, finally, his own reflection in the water. And he saw this mystery. He saw this incredible thing that was his mind and all men's minds. The word blasphemy on each of these heads and crowns, and the name blasphemy, it's a technical legal term. It means to deny the foundation. The foundation is always and ever, in every thought process, is Jesus Christ. So these seven mountains of your mind upon which the whore sitteth, the same as the seven tribes that sat in the land of Canaan that had to be destroyed, so also those seven tribes and on the seven mountains of your mind have to be destroyed, so that you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There is no thought that you can possibly have that can stand against it is finished. Now let's go on. And we can go through all these later. I don't feel like doing it now. But and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus Christ bruised the head of the serpent. And its deadly wound was healed. And all the world wandered after the beast. Now, that power, that main head, if all of the ancient Greek myths about the Hydra, and one of the heads was golden, and the only way to kill it was to kill the golden head, are all a type of this. All the labors of Hercules are a vain shadow of the work of Christ. All the stars and all the meaning of the zodiac are this one mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every one of the tribes had one of the 12 signs of the zodiac on the staff, and that defined how they were arranged, and that's a type of how the body of Christ is arranged. We've lost this mystery. And so now, and the purpose of the zodiac in its beginning at the time, thousands of years ago, was to show this mystery of the desired one of the nations, to show the purpose of time and space. And then it denigrated, and it showed the purpose of the nation. And then it denigrated further, and showed the purpose of the king. And now it's denigrated to the ultimate because it what shows you what you're supposed to do today. So it's your purpose. And so it's amazing to me how all of that, the apostasy since the day of Christ has just been total until finally now we've sanctified self-seeking. It's a sin beyond sin. And so, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And that beast is your mind. That beast is the snake. That beast is the snake that talked to them in the garden. It's the snake. That's why Jacob, we've heard me talk about him. Jacob could not, never used his name. He always was son of. Until finally he wrestled with the angel, and the angel would not let him go until Jacob told him his name. And he said, "My name is Jacob." And if you look up the etymology of the word Jacob in Hebrew, it means the way of the snake. That's the meaning of the word. And that's why after the wrestling, then it came forth that the angel declared unto him, "Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but Israel." And they say now Israel means Prince of God. And no, it doesn't. It means she who sees God. Israel. So Israel, not that hunk of land, but the true Israel is the purpose of time and space, the bride of God, she who sees God. You can't see God and live. But instead, all the world is wondering after the beast until you finally understand there are only two men in the Bible, Adam and Christ. Adam was the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. If he's the last Adam, who are you? That's why the cross is so critical. It's so mind-blowingly important that you accept your death. All men died on the cross. If you don't believe me, read 2 Corinthians 5. But this, we resurrect the beast by us giving breath to it. As long as you're giving importance to yourself, you're wandering after the beast, and you're healed from the deadly, you heal the evil one from his deadly head wound. Is it possible, am I just telling you sort of vain tales? Or this is what this Bible is about. What?
No, it's very clear. the options are, accept your death, or you enter into that entire realm of Satan.
There's no other. There's no ifs or ands or buts. It's the simplest thing in the universe. Otherwise, you spend your entire life being concerned with self. And you try to improve self. You try to get, in the other type, you try to get to the land of Goshen. And the plagues hit you all the time, and you finally obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead. And God is hoping you would stop and inquire of him. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, but she saith not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, and therefore you are not grieved. And the other one, oh, everybody worships ideas. Oh, we got some good ideas. No. The idea is walk in the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. I mean, if it's working out for you, forget everything I've said. It doesn't mean anything to you. You can't even begin to understand it until you understand that everything is under the curse. The only way out of the curse as the gift of God, which is eternal life. That doesn't mean you're going to live a long, long time. It means your life is now hid outside of time and space in eternity on the mercy seat in Christ. And all this garbage that's taught in the name of God about how you do this and how you do that and blah, blah, blah. It's just wandering after the beast. Got a little bit of understanding?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about just now in Revelation, I go right back to Genesis, and this...
That's why. Yeah. There's only two stories.
Yeah, and it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, and her seed it shall bruise thy head."
Right.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a seed of woman, so the only seed of woman that has ever existed is Jesus Christ. Because seed there is sperma. He wondered that there was no man, so his own right arm, his own seed, Zeruah, has gotten him the victory. That's why it's all about Christ, none about you. You're simply the empty vessel unless you fill it with wandering after the beast. It's so simple. But you can't know it until you've come to the end of yourself. As long as you think you've got another hook and you've got another little ace in the hole and you've got something else to do, this is the last thing you will do. Some of you heard this for forever, but you still got this deal that's going to save you over here, this thing. In the cosmic poker games, the tells are all over the place. If someone you haven't forgiven from the heart, that means you're the wandering after the beast. If you're not laying down your life for the needs of people around you, then you're wandering after the beast. There's no how-tos in the Bible. There's what is this? You've heard me say so often, this is about two environments. It's not a moral book, it's not a how-to book, it's not a science book, it's not a history book. It's a book that describes two environments. The environment of time and space, which is under the curse, or the environment of eternity, which is free. It's called, the glorious law of liberty. Everything else is equally, there's no such good and bad and all this other horseshit. It's just two environments. But you can't know and even desire the environment of eternity until you're fed up with the environment of time and space. Otherwise, all this book will become to you is what we're going to talk about later is religious debt. Because there's not one of these things that you can do in here, but you have to act like you're doing it. So you pick out one or two, homosexuality, that's really bad. But in the same place it's describing, it's liars or fearful. It's all him. Know you. Stop believing in the quartet. Start seeing the Trinity. You're not in the Trinity. Do you understand this? All the world is wandering after the beast. That beast is you. This Antichrist, the instead of Christ, which is your mind. That's its job. Its job is to oppose everything that's good and right and holy and concentrate in what am I going to do? Oh, poor me.
One of the things I hear about when you talk of this is when you test it against time and space, all the cultures, every man that's ever existed, all
same truth.
Yeah, so
there's no, it's not, God isn't regional here or localized to your little,
yeah.
Oh, God is making me win this football game. No, he's not. What does God want me to do? What's the call of God for my life? Oh, it's so sincere. I just want to do what you want me to do, God. Die! That's what he called you to do, and be buried in baptism. Don't stink up the world with your dead body. Oh, I'm not dead. I can put makeup on. No, you're dead.
What about the resurrection?
That's all it's about. But if you're in the resurrection, you ain't there. Only Christ was resurrected.
I always thought we were resurrected in him.
Only him. He alone has eternal life. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. The mystery of the egg. The sperma going, joining the egg. The best that man can be is God's sperm cell. And you go around and the sperm enters the egg, and what happens? The sperm loses its identity and the egg loses its identity to the new creation. And that's what the mystery of God is about. You can believe all of the comic book theology you want. Tell me about it at your deathbed. The only thing worth believing in is something that doesn't change with time. If you're a preacher or anybody you're listening to, if anything they say isn't true in every time and in every situation and in every place, then it can't be truth. Truth is that which doesn't change with time. Let's go to Revelation 14. Now this is much about Babylon. All of Babylon is the land of how-tos. How do I do this and how do I do that? The greatest enemy of faith on the face of the earth isn't Satan. The greatest enemy of faith and grace and mercy is cause and effect. Because if I know the cause and I can change, if I can change the cause and comply with an effect, and that's all, that's the Babylonian garment that you put on. Rather than the moment of total dependency at every second on the Father in this eternal now, we move out of now because, well, I can learn how to do this, and you can prove anything if your boundaries are sufficiently limited. Oh, well, this works here. Do you understand that all of our technology came about because somebody invented the concept of zero? You know that? That's how you can manipulate. The concept of zero was invented simultaneously in India and in Arabia. About 1000, something right at 1000 AD. And before that, the world hadn't changed hardly anything. You know, it just continued on. But in order to manipulate with math and manipulate time and space, you had to have a concept of zero. How can there be in him zero? There can't be. So we can take the boundaries. The scriptures tell us to expand our tent ropes to the edge of time and space itself, but we don't. We make boundaries so we can prove to ourselves all these little and have all these little technologies and gimmicks. Every single invention, every single idea, every purpose that man has ever come up with has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ, to flee the moment of total dependence on God for your next breath. Now watch. And in verse 6. Well, we could do the whole verse 14, but no, let's. Revelation is mind blowing if you have any understanding, but go for verse 12, chapter 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. For every member of the human race, their works lead them, because they have a plan, an idea. But for believers, who have died in Him, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow. Can you see the freedom of that position? We never again have to go through this crap Gary goes through every day. You got a good excuse. Well, I got to do it in order to do that. Cause and effect justifies everything. That's why I had to walk away. The moment I became a believer, I walked away from everything. Every deal, every business, every investment, every friend, I walked. Because I knew that I could never again do anything to help myself. I've failed a million times since then. But by His grace, I've been able to repent each time I did. And the only, what I'm talking about failing, not failing as the world standards, the worst failing in the world is to leave faith and move over to how to and what if and what to do. That to me is the greatest sin there is. That's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit has come, He'll convict you of three things. He'll convict you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Only those three. He'll convict you of sin, not because of what you do or the mistakes you make. He'll convict you of sin because you believe not on me. Oh, I believe in Jesus just like I believe the light's on. That's not what it means. It's 100% reliance 24 hours a day. That's what believe on Him means. I'll convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I've gone to the Father. There is no other righteousness. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judge and I know the judgment and I know that it applies to my mind. So I'm free. But again, you can't even hear any of this stuff as long as you've got things to do and places to go and mountains to climb and rivers to cross and you got stuff, oh, it's so much important to do. If you got that, then my advice to you, don't ever listen to me again. Quickly, go do it so you can see that it too is corruption. There are no such thing as sweet ideas. I went on a rant again. I was going to teach today.
Good, man.
Anybody have any response? I can't, and again, I can't tell you anything you don't already know.
Yeah. Odie, you mentioned about Babylon just a few minutes ago. Now, is there going to be a physical Babylon?
No. Babylon, the metaphor for Babylon, they had the god of Bel. Bel was a 60 cubit high and 6 cubits wide god. It couldn't stand up. This is the legend anyway. It couldn't stand up. So that's what all of the artifices from the temple of God at Jerusalem were brought back to Babylon and they built the base for this god. Now this god, everybody, every time a sackbut sounded or whatever the other things they mentioned, and every person in Babylon had to bow. Well, that's a metaphor for cause and effect. You put those pieces of the temple back in there where they're supposed to be, and you and your Babylon falls in one day.
Well, that's what it talks about in the book of Revelation.
I know, 17 and 18.
Yeah.
Let me just repeat one more time. The Old Testament, from Genesis, well, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah. That's the only thing that anybody ever considered Scripture. It's the only thing every writer of the New Testament considered Scripture. All of the writings and the prophets were given because of rebellion. And they all, whatever it is, from Genesis to Malachi, all were types and patterns and tropes and parables of one thing and one thing only, of Messiah, the desired one of the nations. The four Gospels reveal the completeness of all of those parables, all of those types, the finishness of it. And all the letters exhort or reveal that in his people, the finished work in you. And in the book of Revelation, it's over all of time and space. It's always true. It's not a predictive book. It's always true. And again, I promise you, you can't understand the book of Revelation unless you understand what they thought about this movement of the stars and the sky and the great dragon deceiving one third. So the only question is, can you enter the rest? Can you go to war with the only enemy that you have? There's no external enemy. Your only enemy is your mind. Your mind's purpose is to keep you alone and keep you on the path of self-seeking. Keep all of your stands and opinions and ideas. Oh, they're so wonderful. No, they're not. That's what it says. The Antichrist has set himself up in this temple of God. You are the temple of God. And he's showing himself that he is God, is what it says. He doesn't show anybody else. He only shows himself. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. It's finished. It's done. It's over. Rest. What, Gary? Amen?
Amen.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Welcome back.
Take it, big guy.
Holy, is there much physical stuff going on in the book of Revelation?
No.